Malcolm Bedville, an award-winning director of TV commercials, has just made a part comedy, part drama, and part heist film called Henry's Crime. It's an all-star. It has an all-star cast that includes Keanu Reeves, James Caan, and Vera Farmiga of Up in the Air and The Departed fame. And in this, she plays an aspiring actress who gets caught up in a plot to rob a bank when they join a theater production she's part of. Henry's Crime opens this Friday at the Landmark Sunshine Theater in Clearview Cinema's 1st and 62nd Street. And it is my pleasure to welcome Mr. Bedville and Ms. Farmiga to our show today. Hello.
Thank you kindly.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi.
And now, Vera, you play Julie, an aspiring actress starring in The Cherry Orchard. What appealed to you first, playing Chekhov on screen or co-starring with Keanu Reeves and James Caan?
In equal measures. I think the pull was equal measures. I'd love Chekhov. Chekhov is I think it was the character that was most surprising to me. I don't often get an opportunity to play neurotic.
Well, what
or,
about
or
playing,
do comedy?
What about being an actor who's playing someone who's acting? Is that difficult?
It's redundant.
Yeah, but you have to play it as though you're acting.
Yeah, but the thing is to consider is how different is she from me? I wasn't playing myself doing a play of the Cherry Orchard. I was playing a grand diva of the Buffalo Community Theater stage, who takes direction probably
rather
not
poorly.
As well as I might. You'll have to ask my director to verify that. But I think she's someone who is probably feeling a little less fulfilled in life and in career than I am, and is in a rut in her life.
Have you done much Chekhov?
I did one play. I did The Seagull. I played Nina and the Seagull in college.
I'm so surprised.
I'd love to do more. It's it's a hard it, tonally. It's really hard, I think, to get right. Chekhov is about despondency and loneliness and frustration. And it's hard to make that funny.
Well, did you feel, Malcolm, like a stage director during the Cherry Orchard scenes?
I was very grateful I didn't have to direct the entire play. Because it's a very huge undertaking and very complex, and it was much easier to direct segments of it. But yes, I did, and I really enjoyed hiring an actor to play a very grumpy Russian director barking at the actors. That was a lot of fun.
Well, isn't your background initially in still photography, then commercials? You won lots of awards for them. Are there any that our listeners would be readily familiar with?
Well, there's one I did for Volkswagen called Volkswagen Squares, where everything is square in the world, and then the Volkswagen Beetle is round. And that did very well for me over here. And that's about it. I used to do a lot of commercials. Now it's a great film school, I found, for directing.
And then you also did music videos.
I did a few music videos. I missed the kind of great tidal wave of music in the mid-90s, Radiohead and Massive Attack. I missed all that, but I did my fair share.
Uh-huh. Many people actually blame music videos for all of the cut type films that we see these days.
I entirely agree with that. But I think that was more the 1980s, and that was more West Coast guys,
And then you directed 44-inch Chest and now this film. Had it always been your goal to direct features, or does your career path come as something of a surprise to you?
Well, I started my life as an apprentice in a gearbox factory in Birmingham in England.
A gearbox factory?
Yeah.
that's the Volkswagen connection.
Exactly. By some really weird kind of accident and lies, I ended up directing Vera Farmiga, of which I'm very grateful.
But you're suggesting that one thing just led to another, and each thing came as a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, it was never my goal to be a feature film director. It was I realized doing commercials, I was very unfulfilled, and I wanted to get my teeth into a bigger, more emotional project, and films seemed ideal for me.
Mm-hmm. But I imagine that the transition sometimes presented some difficulties.
Yes.
You actually wind up with a bigger budget doing a commercial for the minutes that you are putting on the screen than you do for a large portion of a movie.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot to be learned. I mean, I've there's a lot of low budget commercials I make too, you know, sort of PSAs and other things where I learn how to work really quickly and make a lot of compromises and find shortcuts. So I learned a lot in those sort of commercials.
And Vera, should we be surprised that you are an actress speaking in English? You didn't speak English until you were 6 years old, isn't that true?
Yes. I mean, there's a great pride in heritage within the Ukrainian American community. I grew up. My parents were born in Ukraine, and actually my grandparents were. My mother was born in Germany, and it was only a year old when she came here. And my father lived in Argentina 12 years after he left the Ukraine when he was 7, and came here in his 20s. But instilled in me is a great pride for my Ukrainian heritage, and all sure I was raised in that community, and that was. But Sure, I think storytelling is so important in the culture, in the Ukrainian culture. I grew up in my late teens and 20s as a professional Ukrainian folk dancer, and you know, there's storytelling there in the music, in the folklore. So always with a great sense of the importance of storytelling.
So is your career also a batch of accidents, starting off as a dancer and then winding up being
it is surprising in that way.
Well-known actress?
I feel like it is a bunch of happy accidents. I wanted to be an ophthalmologist. You know, those were my that was in high school, sort of the idea I had for my life, and it's one of those great surprises that's thrown at you, and they're happy surprises.
And why ophthalmology of all things? Not that there's anything wrong with ophthalmology.
No, and you could say that that storytelling and filmmaking and movies are a type of kind of way of dealing with myopia.
Since
and
we're
short-sightedness.
Talking about visual things. Malcolm, your parents were hearing impaired, weren't they?
Yeah, they were profoundly deaf, actually. Yeah.
So is that why you got into photography initially?
Well, no, it was weird. You know, profoundly deaf people in England in the 60s when I grew up were definitely blue-collar people who had difficulty using language, the comprehension of English was a nightmare for them. So definitely deaf people see the world, understand the world through their eyes only. And that really, I think, helped me.
Vera, your character's relationship, as you point out, with her director, Derek, who's played wonderfully by Peter Stormare, is a rather heated one. You suggest that doesn't happen often in real life?
Rarely.
Like, but what happens when you're in something and you have
you
such a different vision of what your character is all about from what the director
is? That's pretty much established I think those kind of ideas and approach to the work should be established before before you agree to collaborate. And thereafter, I rely heavily on my directors. I cherish the collaboration. I like them to maneuver me out of comfort zones and challenge me. So I'm more accommodating, and I think I'm gentler in the approach and process, and more open than certainly Julie is.
And now you have directed a film as well, haven't you?
I did, called Higher Ground.
What's it about?
It's about the notion of doubt within faith, which I think is pretty universal. I think no matter what your spiritual tenets, what your philosophy on life, what your religion, I think at some point
Mother Teresa said that she often had doubts about the existence of God.
She did, and I read quite a bit about her in the development of the piece. I was attached to as an actress first. I think it's something we all struggle with, disillusionment and wanting and yearning to come from an authentic self.
And you not only directed it, you directed yourself and your teenage sister.
Thaisa, yeah.
You made things more difficult.
I noogied her into doing it. It was for obvious genetic reasons. She looks like me, and I had to establish a maternal relationship with – I knew I couldn't honor child labor laws, and I hope Screen Actors Guild doesn't get me for this. But my son, Finn, ended up playing her daughter, and they have a naturally affectionate and tactile relationship, so it was a no-brainer to use them.
Catherine Bigelow won an Oscar, but isn't it still difficult for women who want to direct?
I think it's difficult for anyone who wants to direct. I don't necessarily think it's a gender issue or gender biased. I think it's really difficult to get a film made. It's within economically speaking, and it takes a lot. Malcolm will attest to this.
I know. One thing that's blown me away about Vera is that she's, you know, had two kids in the last few years, made all these movies, did Henry's Crime, and now she's directed her own movie. I mean,
and she raises goats on the side.
I know.
The goats are at the in-laws at the moment.
We'll be speaking to some pig farmers. So there's a theme on this show. Malcolm. Keanu Reeves' character in this film joins the production of The Cherry Orchard, although he's never acted before. Is that possible? Can somebody act on pure natural talent without schooling?
I don't know. It's a better question for Vera, I think. Really, mm-hmm. I think Derek, the Russian director, is very, very Russian in his outlook. You know, so I think anything can happen with a guy like that. You know, and. I don't know. What do you think, Barry?
Well, are people who, you know, I mean, there are directors who actually prefer to work with amateurs.
Mm, and non-actors. I worked with many of them on Higher Ground. And the approach is, I think anyone can do it. I think anybody can be directed and maneuvered into a performance. And yeah. You turn the video camera on anyone, and...
I actually wanted to mention a French director, long dead now, Robert Bresson, mm-hmm. who loathed trained actors.
And there's Abbas Kiarostami, one of the great directors today, who also works mostly with untrained actors, although his latest film has Juliette Binoche, who is definitely a trained, fabulous actress. Mm-hmm. In your case, did you have actors in mind when you began casting the film?
Keanu was the producer of the project, so he was firmly placed as Henry, which excited me. But when the character came up with Julie, I was like, well, who's your ideal for this? And my ideal is Vera Farmiga. And Vera responded, and that was one of the great pleasures of the job, actually.
But you obviously had seen her in Up in the Air because, like Alex in Up in the Air, Julie is a strong woman who has a wry sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. The scene, I remember the trailer of Up in the Air killed me, that when she was going toe-to-toe with George Clooney. I love that. And I also loved her in Winter's Bone and then The Departed.
Down to the Bone, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Down to the Bone.
Winter's Bone was Deborah's last one, yeah.
Yeah, when she played a drug-addicted mother, I thought was really powerful. And then obviously The Departed really knocked me out in that.
In this case, Keanu Reeves' character is a former toll booth worker who is going nowhere. And after he's unjustly accused of a bank robbery, he decides to pull off the heist that's at the center of the film. Is it simply that he did the time, so why not do the crime?
It's as simple as that. You know, he was a man who'd never had a dream before. And he's encouraged to follow his dream by James Caan in a kind of existentialist kind of preaching from jail. So because his life is so bleak and empty, he decides to rob the bank that he was already jailed for.
And this is a kind of a mixed genre film. Does that make it more difficult because you're doing both real drama? This is a heist film and you have all the tension of the robbery, but you also have comedy in it.
Yeah, I make it difficult, you know, it falls between the bases and genres, you know, which I always find more interesting. But, you know, people out there who market and sell movies find it incredibly frustrating. I think we're going to be all right.
But for the actors, it's just play it straight and let the comedy take care of itself? Or do you think, well, this is going to be funny, maybe I should do something?
No, I find when I try to be funny, it more often than not doesn't quite gel. And I think it is just playing the truth of the moment and finding nuance within that. And wonderful to work with, especially Jimmy Caan's approach to the work is really frivolous and playful and surprising. And I think you get to experience a lot of that. The actors had a lot of fun, and I think the audience will have fun as a result of it.
Well, you're a veteran. But do you still learn stuff from other actors that you work with?
All the time. I learn from, I think, all collaborators. I think I've had the opportunity to work with many, many fabulous directors as well. And I think they all rub off on you in some way. And you're inspired and oftentimes more, not even, you might not even precisely know how. Just great collaborations are always invigorating.
Malcolm, you mentioned that you were an admirer of Robert Bresson, whose style is quite different from yours, although he did do a film called Pickpocket, which was about with a lot of tension because it's all about robbing. But does it matter whether when you see a great film, do you feel like you're influenced, or can you separate yourself and what you want to do from films that you admire by other people?
I am a big movie fan. You know, I love Robert Bresson hugely. I have massive admiration for him. I really, in Henry's Crimes case, I grew up watching films by Capra, by Preston Sturges, Howard Hawks, Billy Wilder, Alfred Hitchcock, and I feel like I've drew on all their movies.
American films, obviously, not British films?
Yeah, American films, but a lot of European emigres in there. You know, Hollywood was great back then, you know, especially roles for women as well. They were terrific.
Is there a Hollywood film today? This is not a Hollywood film.
No, this is an independent movie.
Yeah. It's shot in Buffalo?
Shot in New York and in Buffalo, yeah. Uh-huh.
Cold. So we're not going using Toronto as a stand-in for Buffalo anymore?
No.
No, Tarrytown was a stand-in for Buffalo.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, the theater where the Cherry Orchard is was set in Tarrytown, was used in Tarrytown. That old theater there is beautiful.
So, are you working on another film project?
I'm actually trying to make a movie about the Zeppelin airship bomber. It's a kind of love story set underneath the threat of the Zeppelin, about a blind soldier who has an affair with these very patriotic young English ladies.
And Vera, now that you've directed, can you go back to acting?
I can. Directing was a surprise to me. It came about not necessarily something I wanted to achieve, and it came out of frustration and not wanting to hang around for someone to give me a job, but giving myself a job. I cast myself in the lead role, and it just came. You know, I often get asked about roles for women and my frustrations about it, and I simply grew tired of whining about it and became more proactive.
Any likelihood you'd go back to theater?
Theater, I would love to eventually. It doesn't fit into my lifestyle with a 5-month-old and a 2-year-old, but it's grueling, and eventually.
Vera Farmiga is one of the stars, along with Keanu Reeves and James Caan, of Henry's Crime, Malcolm Benville's new film, which opens this Friday at the Landmark Sunshine Theater in Clearview Cinemas, 1st and 62nd Street. Thank you both so much for being on our show today.
Lovely.
Thank you so much.